beautiful Bob Almanac here today, Wednesday, February 2nd, 33rd day of the year, 332 days left to go. Virtual Neil.
Let's do it.
All right, the state, 1863, our guy, Samuel Langhorn Clemens, started using a pseudonym. He goes, you know what, that just isn't going to do. I need to come up with something a little more catchy. So he came up with Mark Twain, something about riverboating, about marking your depth. Mark Twain, rest is history, 1863. How about 1848? This was a date the United States got considerably larger on this date. We got pretty big when it came to the Louisiana Purchase, when we were able to acquire that land from France after they flipped it for a huge, huge profit after they got it from Spain. For a song, pretty much. The Mexican War ended on this date. That meant we got New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, California, parts of Colorado, Wyoming, a little bit of Texas. We gave Mexico $15 million and assumed responsibility of all claims against Mexico by American citizens. This date, 1848. 1876, the National League formed. The National League was the first league. That's why they're called the Senior Circuit, and the American League has always been called the Junior Circuit. And it was formed on this date. The official name was National League of Professional Baseball Clubs. It was formed in New York. The teams were the Chicago White Stockings, Philadelphia Athletics, Boston Red Stockings, Hartford Dark Blues, Mutual of New York. Sounds like an insurance company. Can't wait to take on Mutual of New York this weekend in a doubleheader. St. Louis Brown Stockings. A lot of they love their stockings back then. They couldn't think of anything else to name teams after. So they go, they're looking at what they're wearing. Well, they can't say underwear. The Stockings. How about that? Cincinnati Red Stockings and the Louisville Grays. Again, based on the color of their clothing. We just weren't very creative in 1876. That's obvious. 1887, this is the beginning of Groundhog Day on this date. Gobbler's Knob, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. It is the epicenter of the national celebration of Groundhog Day, February 2nd. It began this date. How about 1887? Here's a scene.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Kind of like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it. You're hypocrites, all of you.
Yeah, that's Groundhog Day for you. 1887. I don't know if that's audio from the original one in 1887, but it's pretty close. 1892, a lot of 1800s today. We got to like that for all of anybody born in 1800 listening to the Almanac today. William Painter. This is our patent of the day. He patented the bottle cap. Before that, what was it, cork? You know, you would stuff rags in bottles, those little clamp ones. You can still get those. They're kind of retro. They're more for the bigger. But yeah, I've seen them on smaller bottles, too, with a little clamp on it, the wire and the mesh, and it would come down. And then you'd have the rubber gasket, and then that would come down and seal it. That was a whole process, that whole thing. You had to grease it and, you know, do all those things, keep that thing in working order. The bottle cap made things a lot easier, and it came into reality. The state patented 1892. Finally, into 1935 here, and in the 1900s, Leonard Keeler first used his polygraph test, used to detect lies. This date, 1935, the first use of the polygraph test. And of course, as we've learned, when it comes to polygraph tests and lie detectors.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
It's the only way to beat it. It really is. 1959, this date, we go to Iowa.
Hi, everybody. This is Richie Valens. I will be on the Winter Dance Party coming your way very shortly. I will be having a ball singing for you. And I hope to see you all real soon. By the way, hope you have been hearing a lot of my latest Delphi release, La Bamba and Donna.
Hi, gang. This is the Big Bopper, and I'll be on your winter dance party coming your way real soon. We'll be swinging and singing and looking forward to saying hello, baby, to all of you in person.
Hi, this is Buddy Holly. The Crickets and I are really happy to be coming your way on the winter dance party. We certainly hope to see all our old friends and be making some new ones, too. Also, I hope you like my latest choral release, Heartbeat. See you soon.
So there you go. Those were the three participants, along with Dion and the Belmonts. They had other transportation lined up. But this was the date, February 2nd, that Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and Big Bopper had their final performance at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa. I don't know if you've ever been down to the Surf Ballroom. I have. And the memorial outside, and then how they've kind of kept it in the inside. It's music history. It truly is. And so 1959, this date, February 2nd, their final performance ever for those three great performers. And then they boarded a plane in Mason City, and then they actually crashed after midnight. So the actual crash took place 2-3, February 3rd. That's when the crash took place. But the actual concert and their final show was on February 2nd in Iowa, the day the music died, of course. And we all know about the story about Waylon Jennings and giving up his seat on that plane. 1964 on this date, we're moving ahead. This really changed things in the toy industry. It was basically dolls for boys.
G.I. Joe, fighting man from head to toe, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
G.I. Joe attack! Boom, boom! G.I. Joe!
They had to come up with a different name. They couldn't call them dolls. They had to call them, what would we call them? Action figures. Yes, action figures. G.I. Joe, 1964, made its debut. Hasbro came up with them. They were the Hassenfeld brothers. I know that because I watch The Toys That Built America on the History Channel. And that's one of them right there, no doubt. 1964 G.I. Joe. How about 93?
I'm Chris Christopherson, and I'm talking about Willie Nelson's new record, The IRS Tapes.
This new release of 25 original songs, written and performed by Willie Nelson, is available only on television and is not found in stores. This is Willie, as you've never heard him before.
Who will buy my memories? This was the date Willie and the IRS, he did the IRS tapes there. Of course he's singing differently. When you're singing and you've got $1 million debt over your head, you are going to sing different. There's no doubt about that. There's a little desperation in there. But Willie, it was really sad how he got into trouble with the IRS and had to sell a lot of his stuff. And, you know, some of his friends came to his rescue, like Chris Christopherson. But it was a long-standing tax feud. And they finally came to a settlement. The government kept $3.6 million in assets it had already seized. Nelson would have to pay $5.4 million of the $13.1 million balance. So they did come to an agreement to pay less than what was owed for Willie, 1993, and that's only fitting, I guess, because he had done so much with the farm aid and everything that he had done. 1993 is when that happened. We're going to jump way ahead. Oh, where is Virtual Neil?
Huh?
Oscar, this was a sad day, this day, 2014, when Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away with in the news.
The tragic death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman, a performer who was known for his extraordinary range. He was also known for his honesty about the struggles he faced away from the public eye. Tonight, investigators at his home after what they believe was a heroin overdose. Just last November, seen smiling at the opening of the second Hunger Games movie.
You know, I have never seen a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie where I thought he didn't do a good job. He won an Oscar for Capote, great method actor. He could do comedy, you know, Hunger Games. It didn't matter, and it was really sad that he was dead at the age of 46 of an apparent drug overdose, 2014. And then in the news, 2021.
Jeff Bezos, chief executive for nearly 30 years of Amazon.com, ever heard of it, is stepping down. The announcement sent shockwaves through the business and tech communities. Bezos will transition out of the role sometime in the third quarter of this year.
Jeff Bezos stepping down as CEO is just too much work. He just wasn't getting paid enough. He didn't need to be CEO of his company anymore. His company's doing just fine. And he became executive chairman, which still sounds pretty important. And sounds like, you know, none of those guys get paid a salary. That's how they get out of paying taxes, or at least income tax. 2021, Jeff Bezos. And you get those emails, too, from Amazon. I get one maybe every other day. Hey, your interview, it's confirmed. Come on in for your interview. You're working at Amazon, buddy. I have a feeling that all of us will end up working for Amazon at one point in time in our life. Whether that's where we end up later on as a retirement job, you know, make a little extra money, or if they just buy everything and everything's going to be owned by Amazon. You just don't know. But that was a year ago. Jeff Bezos, excited for him, making the move. Let's move on. Birthdays, what do you think, Neil?
I'm ready, Jim.
Tom Smothers, one of the Smothers brothers.
My mom liked my brother best, and she never liked me. Right, mom gave my...
This is not true.
Mom gave you... Mom liked you best.
She, all right. Mom. All right. Just be quiet 1 minute.
Mom liked you best.
You lower your voice.
Mom liked you
best. Tom Smothers. He was the one who would always tell Dick that Mom liked him best. Tom Smothers, 85 today. Oh, we need to mention something yesterday. An egregious error on the Bob Almanac. It was more my staff than Neil's staff. There are people texting in blaming Neil's staff, and that's my total fault because I blame his staff for everything here on the Bob Almanac. But we had Don Everly in the living category, and he passed away in August of 2021. It was a member of my staff who had forgotten to cut and paste and make that adjustment after the passing of Don Everly last year in August. So those don't happen very often. My staff is usually pretty good about that. Maybe once or twice a year is about it. But it did happen. And I had to double check to make sure Tom Smothers hadn't passed. And we're good. He's still around. He's 85 today. Graham Nash is 80.
I light the fire. Who makes the fire?
Great vocalist, wonderful in the Hollies, and of course, Crosby, Stills, Nash, sometimes Young. '80 today for Graham Nash. Did I mention the Bellamys? Know your Bellamy brothers. Is it Howard or David's birthday today? Or their third brother, Skippy? Howard Bellamy, 76 today. They've had a few hits. We've heard them already a couple of times on the Bob Morning Show. Haven't heard Earth, Wind, and Fire on the Bob Morning Show until now. Al McKay, member of Earth, Wind, and Fire. '74, everybody's favorite android, Data.
Say goodbye, Data.
Goodbye, Data. Was that funny? Accessing. Huh. Burns and Allen, Roxy Theater, New York City, 1932. It still works. Then there was the one about the girl in the nudist colony that nothing looked good on.
We're ready to get underway, sir.
Take my wharf, please.
Data. He was good. He was funny. He was kind of the Spock character in the Next Generation of Star Trek. He was an android, though, with a positronic matrix that nobody could replicate. Brent Spiner, 73. He was also on Independence Day and spending other things, but he'll always be remembered as Data. Brent Spiner, 73. Bounty Hunter Dog.
Some people say, oh, you're a Bounty Hunter Dog. I say, no, brah. I'm brah Bounty Hunter Dog.
Wait a minute, brah. There's only one Bounty Hunter, brah, and that's Boba Fett. I'm sorry. Sorry, brah. That's Dog Chapman. He's Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's got his wife. They're out there doing what bounty hunters do. 69 today.
This is crazy. How's the water?
Exhilarating.
I'm in deep.
He's in deep with Christie Brinkley. The girl in the red Ferrari. And, of course, Billy Joel's wife there for a while. And she was in the Uptown. She was Uptown Girl. She was the Uptown Girl. Christie Brinkley, 68 today. Former Twin.
Fly ball left field. Alex Cole coming in. Meters going out. Cole has it. Erickson has his no-hitter.
Scott Erickson, big part of the 91 World Series team. Kind of came out of nowhere with that sinker. I mean, everybody thought he was loading up the ball. How is he getting so much movement? He was almost unhittable there during the 91 season. Then he got hurt. Wasn't quite the same in the postseason. He missed the All-Star game. He was supposed to start the All-Star game in 91. And then just wasn't the same after that, although it was later on in 94 that he threw that no-hitter for the Twins and was traded to Baltimore. But Scott Erickson, happy birthday, 54 for the former Twin. Shakira. Whenever, wherever, we're meant to be together. I'll be there and you'll be near. That's the deal, I think some describe her as muy caliente. Shakira, 45. And our rapper of the day, Virtual Neil, rapper.
Huh?
We need to know the rapper of the day, Gucci Mane. Gucci Mane is 42. Neil, you ever listen to the music of Gucci Mane?
I only watch Gunsmoke.
Gone but not forgotten today. He helped build the NFL. One of the founding fathers of the NFL. Longtime coach and owner of the Chicago Bears. He is Papa Bear. George Halas. He changed the name from the Decatur, Illinois Staleys to the Chicago Bears. Good move there, George Halas. Born on this date, 1895. James Dickey. Now, he is the author that gave us the book Deliverance. And without that, we wouldn't have this scene from the movie. Got the backwoods kid. And playing the guitar is, that's Bogomil. That's Lieutenant Bogomil from Beverly Hills Cop. Who knew? Dueling banjos, of course, one of them being a guitar. James Dickey, who wrote Deliverance, 1923. And I'm sure when he envisioned who was the person going down the river in the boat or the canoe, that Ned Beatty would fit that perfectly. James Dickey, 1923. Got to include jazz because, you know, Neil's a big jazz head when it comes to music.
Huh?
On the Bob Almanac, he loves his jazz and opera, too. Opera's number one with him, really.
Huh?
Stan Getz, big band, jazz, Hall of Famer. Here he is contributing to The Girl from Ipanema. He's on the money right there, I gotta tell you. So 1927, and one more, Farrah.
When Fabergé first asked me to put my name on a new shampoo, I said, I don't know anything about making hair products. He said, yes, but you know what you like in a shampoo. So I told them I like hair that's really clean and smells fresh.
And is easy to feather, right? She was feathering her hair. All that hair. Farrah Fawcett, born this date 1947. And for Fabergé to get Farrah Fawcett to endorse and then actually have a Farrah Fawcett shampoo, that had to be a major coup. You know, there were no, you know, Alberto VO5 or White Rain aren't going, hey, we got Telly Savalas to endorse our shampoo. That's... Farrah Fawcett was number one when it came to endorsers of shampoos and other hair products, and she was born on this date, 1947. And now, Virtual Neil, they are...
They're all gone, but not forgotten.
I was told I need to tell people whether it's Virtual Neil or Real Neil, because they were very confused, because they couldn't tell if it was Real Neil or Virtual Neil. So I think we have to go forward here. And going forward, we need to identify it as Virtual Neil, because people were being confused. They were actually liking Virtual Neil more than Real Neil, and we certainly don't want that. So Virtual Neil helped us out here today. We thank him. Let's get a Bobathon going and a no-repeat workday, one of the more important things that we do here on Bob FM. And here today we're going to spin the wheel for three songs. Pam Tillis, Maybe It Was Memphis, Ronnie Millsap, In Love, or Garth Brooks, Two of a Kind, Working on a Full House. And today it is... Pam Tillis.
KDDG Albany. KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud. KBGY Faribault. KLCIL.